Yes, as John said, we've been, we haven't really started looking in detail at any parables yet, but we are going to be looking at parables. And the one tonight is very much about forgiveness. And when I was doing some research, I found a story which just sort of tickled my humour. So I apologise if it doesn't tickle yours, but about a lady who, having felt a bit lonely, decided she would get herself a parrot. And she bought this parrot, and within a few days, the parrot had sort of made itself not a happy addition to the household. Not only did it peck her every time she walked past, it kept saying, "You are ugly, you are ugly, you've got a big bum, you are ugly." And about 5 days in, this was, "I've had enough of this parrot, that is absolutely it." And with that, with the intent of just causing the teaching of a lesson, she picked it up and thrust it in the freezer. And as it was being thrown into the freezer, it was going, "You are ugly, you are ugly," and nipping her. And as soon as she shut the freezer door, within a couple of seconds, there was complete silence. And she felt a bit guilty and suddenly great regret and thought, "Oh, what if I've killed it? I didn't intend that." And went back and opened the freezer, and the parrot was still alive, and out it came a bit sort of shaken. And it said, "Oh, I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to do any of what I did. And I'll never say anything like that again. And I won't ever peck you again. I really do promise. Oh, please forgive me." And she said, "It's fine. You're forgiven. Apology accepted." And the parrot sort of turned his head towards the freezer and said, "Just one question. What did the chicken do?" And it just sort of tickled my fancy. I'm not, hopefully tonight, we're not going to be thinking about people we've wanted to punish by shutting in freezers or anything like that. But perhaps I do hope that we'll be able to just consider something about our response to other people, about this message of forgiving people, particularly perhaps when they've done something that's wronged us. And so the parable we're looking at tonight, I'm going to start by reading it. And if you want to follow, please do. It's Matthew. And it's Matthew 18, starting at verse 21. It's the parable of the unforgiving servant, or in some versions it's called the unforgiving debtor. Matthew 18. Then Peter came to him and asked, "Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? 7 times? "No, not 7 times, Jesus replied, "but 70 times 7. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with servants who had borrowed money from him. In the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. He couldn't pay, so his master ordered that he be sold, along with his wife, his children, and everything he owned, to pay the debt. But the man fell down before his master and begged him, 'Please be patient with me, and I will pay it all.' And then his master was filled with pity for him, and he released him and forgave his debt. But when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. His fellow servant fell down before him and begged for a little more time. 'Be patient with me and I will pay,' he pleaded. But his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested and put in prison until the debt could be paid in full. When some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. They went to the king and told him everything that had happened. And then the king called in the man he had forgiven and said, 'You evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you?' And then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. That's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart." This is a story that I always remember, actually, as a child. I think it's probably quite a familiar story to lots of us. But on reading it again, there were several quite important things that I sort of saw afresh that I wanted to share with you this evening. The first one is that I think in this parable there is definitely something about us receiving or acknowledging or recognising something. And it's all around the character of the king. You know, the character of the king had every right to hold that servant to account. You know, we live in a world where if we owe money, we don't very often get let off. You know, we're used to this sense that if we've done something, there's a consequence. If we owe something, we're expected to pay it back. And actually, therefore, the king would have done nothing other than perhaps the world would have expected of him and have thought right to have demanded his money back and to have punished the servant for not being able to pay it back. And yet the king is unusual in his response, isn't he? He looks on that servant with a compassionate heart, with a loving heart, with a gracious heart, with a forgiving heart. And I guess it doesn't take a lot, does it, to join that together with the sense that the king in the story perhaps is a metaphor for our God. You know, we stand before him, perhaps unworthy of forgiveness, in his debt, perhaps, and have no right, really, perhaps, to demand that we are let off of the things that we know we've done wrong. And yet he looks at us with that same compassion and love and generosity of spirit. And whatever we've done, however unworthy we feel, he wishes to forgive us. And I think that's something that we just pass over quite quickly in this story quite often. We get more onto the servant and we sort of miss actually that the message here is about the God that we have, the Father that we have. And actually by entering into a relationship with him, the amazing grace and forgiveness that's there for every single one of us, different from the world that we live in and the way that that would treat us. But for me, perhaps the more important thing in this passage is not the thing that we're supposed to receive, God's forgiveness, but perhaps what we're supposed to give. The key of this parable is the servant was expected to act in the way that he had been treated. And that's quite an old sort of adage, isn't it? You know, I can remember my mom saying to me, well, you do unto others as, you know, you'd like to be done to yourself or something along those lines. You know, God doesn't forgive. The king doesn't just forgive and love because that's the end of it. He does it because he wants to model that as the way in which we should act towards others. You know, in the story, the amounts are significant. The king lets the first servant off equivalent to millions of our money today. You know, he is forgiven much. The whole point of the story is that we realise he has been let off a massive debt. It is not an insignificant one. And yet, the debt that he was asked then to forgive is really insignificant in response. Ultimately then, we are forgiven much. Should we, the story is telling us, not all the more forgive much? Or does this mean people shouldn't be held to account? You know, should the parrot not be held to account for being rude to its owner? You know, if people commit a crime, should there not be a consequence? This story isn't saying there shouldn't be a consequence. It's not really talking about judgment and justice, but what it's talking about is a mindset, an attitude towards that person. A mindset and an attitude about the way in which we live life. Recently, Martin and I went and saw Les Miserables. Some of you have probably seen it, if not in the theatre, the film version. And those of you that know the story will know that there's a convict at the beginning, Jean Valjean. I won't sing, although already the songs are going around in my head and I want to go, oh, Jean Valjean, but I won't. Originally, if you go right back to the beginning of the story, he served time sort of in imprisonment and hard labour because he'd stolen some bread to give, I think, for his nephew or son, something like that. Anyway, he got released, and as the story goes on, you find out that he skipped his parole and various other things happened, which I won't go into. But there's a bit fairly early on when he's really destitute. He's gone out and he's hoped that the world is going to cut him a deal and not judge him because of his criminal sort of background. And of course, he finds that's not the case. And he meets a clergyman. I think he's an archbishop of some sort. And he spends the night. The archbishop welcomes him in when nobody else will, feeds him. And before morning light, Jean Valjean leaves, stealing all the silver from the house. And fairly quickly is caught by the sort of local officers who bring him back to the bishop's house, say, look, he's stolen all your silver. And he knows that this is it. He's going to be going back to imprisonment. Until at that point, the archbishop, or bishop whoever he is, says, no, I did give him these. Because Jean Valjean's saying, no, I didn't steal them. I was given them, which was a lie. And the bishop says, no. I did give them to him, and completely confirms his story, although there's been no such agreement. And he says, actually, what was interesting is you left before I was able to give you the most valuable bits, and gives him two big candlesticks. And Jean Valjean can't quite believe that somebody who had tried to help him and who could then have had him punished gives him these things and lets him off with the officers. They all leave, and there's a conversation between them where the bishop says, you know, see this as a point to change your life. Use these things for good. Act towards others as I have acted with you. And if you know the story, he does. He changes the lives of those around him. He shows the same compassion and forgiveness to others that he himself was shown. And it seems to me that that's a sort of a very clear message similar to the parable we're looking at. This is a story about, because of God's love and forgiveness for us, because of Jesus' death on the cross, we're not supposed to just accept that and feel lucky. We are supposed to go out and show that love and forgiveness to other people. Because of that action for us, we are supposed to go and act in a certain way. And I guess we could broaden it, couldn't we, beyond forgiveness? There's some quite challenging things there. If you don't want to be gossiped about, don't gossip. If you want to be cared about, show your care for others. If you want people to be honest with you, be honest with them. And I think you can broaden this sense of, as a disciple of Christ, it should be an active challenge. This parable is an active challenge to us. Are we treating people in the way God mirrors his love to us? The king in the story was unusual. His action was unusual. God calls us to be unusual in our world. But probably the most interesting thing for me, which I hadn't thought about before, was why did the servant not forgive? And I hadn't really thought about that before, because I think we spend so much time thinking about, yeah, well, he should have forgiven, well, that's that. And I thought, actually, why didn't he? Because he could so easily have done. And I came up with a few ideas. So firstly, I thought, could he not forgive when he'd been forgiven? Could he not forgive this poor man in front of him the lesser amount because he had a sense of gaining something for himself for once? Perhaps he'd always felt sort of low of the low, you know, had the forgiveness he'd been given him a bit of a short-term adrenaline boost, and suddenly he sort of thought, well, this is it, you know, I've got a chance to make myself now. Was it about pride? Was it about saving face with this servant and keeping his status? Or sort of, was it just about a sort of personal desire to be a bit better off? He sort of saw his chance and thought, well, I don't have to pay that debt anymore. So actually, this could be a start in me beginning to get into a slightly better position. Was that the reason? Was it about gaining something for him? And if it is, then again, that's clearly not the response that God would want us to have. Not being able to forgive or treat somebody with compassion because we prefer to try and get something for ourselves is clearly not in line with his message. Was it because he thought the king might change his mind? You know, we live in a world where deals come and go, don't they? People say one thing to you one day, and the next day they seem to have slightly changed what they offered you or what they'd said to you. Was that what he was worried about? He thought, I better make this servant pay me what he owes, just in case tomorrow the king comes back and says, no, actually, I've changed my mind. I do want you to pay. At least then I'll have some money to give him back. But again, you know, that doesn't seem quite the right mindset either. God is constant. God isn't going to change the rules with us. If he tells us to forgive others, he means forgive others and expects us to go and do that. He's not going to suddenly retract his forgiveness or his love. He's not suddenly going to ask us to do a whole lot more. He is a God who doesn't change. Or is it just that he didn't have the capacity to forgive? Was it just too overwhelming? Or he just felt he hadn't got that sort of compassion of heart. And I can understand that. Sometimes it can be really difficult to forgive. We don't know what else had come with this servant's debt. There might be a whole load of other things that meant that this servant, in this particular reason, he could not forgive. John and I were talking before the service tonight about the programme, The Gift. I don't know if any of you have seen it. It's a bit like the old Surprise, Surprise that Scylla did. It sort of is a bit, but it's better. You'll cry. Ultimately, every week, there are two people who have something in their life that they want to sort of put right from the past. And there are two celebrities who lead it, and they help them resolve their situations. And a couple of weeks ago, there was a guy who had been a bully at school. And the whole of his life, it had stayed with him. And he was desperate to find the man that as a child he had bullied. Mainly because he said, until he forgives me, I can't be released. And what was really interesting was that when they met, the victim, you could see he was quite shaken by coming face to face with the bully. And he, for a while, you felt it was almost this issue. He wasn't going to be able to forgive because the crime against him and that sense of having to forgive was just too overwhelming. And he actually said, when I knew I was going to meet you, I didn't think I would be able to forgive you. It was just too hard. And maybe for this servant, it was just too hard. He didn't have it in him. It wasn't in his capacity. And he was grateful that he'd been forgiven, but his heart was so hard, he didn't have that capacity to be able to do it. I want to show you a clip. It's about a boy called Anthony Walker who was murdered, and it shows you what happened and his mum and his sister's response to that. And his aggressors were caught. And what you see is his mum and his sister talk about why they felt they should forgive these two boys. And the mum in particular talks about the fact that forgiveness is the hardest thing. You know, they took away her little boy, and the sister says the same thing. And they were people that all grew up together. They all grew up as children playing together in a playground, and they said they were sort of doubly shocked when they found out who it was that had killed him in this racial attack. But his mum says, I have a choice. I can let what they've done take me over. I can let the bitterness and the anger come inside for me. She said, but that's not what God calls me to do. And she said, actually, all that happens if I hold on to those things is that they eat me up, they take me further away from God's love, and they affect the way I am with everybody else. And she said, all of it is too heavy to bear. She said, the sadness of what's happened in itself is enough without having to carry the bitterness and the anger and the resentment and the whole issue of what should happen to them and this sense of revenge. A lot of people said to her, don't you want revenge? And she said, I have to, because God asks me to, because he loves me. I have to put down the anger and the bitterness and the resentment and the desire for revenge. And I have to just dwell on God's love and God's love in me in the grieving process. And his sister says pretty much exactly the same thing. And it's just a really powerful message. Did the servant in that story not forgive because he didn't have it in his heart to forgive? It was too overwhelming. And there will be times when people do things against us which are just so great that we think we cannot forgive. We know God forgives us, but the crime against us or those we love, as with the case study that you weren't able to watch, is just so big. We don't have that capacity. And was that why he didn't forgive the servant and show the same love that he was shown? We are called to forgive, regardless of how hard that crime might be. This passage doesn't ask us to judge others. It doesn't ask us to scrutinize how much their regret or remorse is sincere. It doesn't ask us to have a limit of number of times that people will offend against us. And all of that is really challenging for us as human beings. We want to scrutinize whether someone really means it or not. We want to judge for what they've done. We want to forgive a certain number of times. You know, there's nothing worse, is there, than, well, they've said twice to me already, what's going to change? You know, and that times at school we say, well, the proof of whether you're really sorry will be whether you do it again. You know, that's the world, that's our mindset. But this parable calls us from the very start not to keep account of how many times we forgive, not to consider how great the crime against us, not to consider whether the person is genuine in their regret and to judge them. That is for God. Our heart, our challenge is to have that heart of forgiveness for all. It says in Ephesians 4, verse 32, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words and slander, as well as all types of evil behaviour. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. And so tonight, I hope that we'll just take away those three things, that this parable, firstly, leads us to accept that fantastic message that God's forgiveness is there for all of us, regardless of how unworthy we might feel to accept it. But that if we understand this passage at its heart, then it is not something we should read and leave. There is a call to be active, to show that heart of forgiveness to others. And then lastly, there's a call, if we can't forgive, to ask ourselves why that is. And if it is because we care more about gaining something for ourselves, or more because we're afraid, or more because we just don't have that capacity to forgive, then perhaps it reminds us that we should just turn again to that master and look to his help and his guidance and ask him to melt our hearts and give us that capacity to be more like him. I just want to end with just praying, but also just in that time, it may be that for you, the sort of message of forgiving somebody is actually something that strikes to the heart. It may be that you have deep down got an ongoing grudge or resentment or something against somebody that you just haven't been able to put down. And in this passage we've learned, haven't we? God has forgiven us and he wants us to do the same. And so it may be that in that time you want to ask God about that situation and bring that situation to him. It may be that you don't have that situation. But in this time of quiet, I just would like everyone just to think and really dwell on that sense of forgiveness that our Father gives us. And just to praise him for that. Okay, so we're just going to have a moment of quiet.